Welcome to the Franco Podcast.
Welcome to the 2024 Rendezvous de la Francophonie Podcast. I interviewed 8 bilingual or multilingual people for this year's podcast, including Victoria King. Victoria is a manager at a charitable foundation in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and previously worked in the community radio sector. Here's our conversation.
I'm wondering, what's the value of speaking more than one language for you?
For me, it's kind of a benefit that I think I have when it comes to looking for jobs and opportunities is a big one for me. The value I also have found that in my life, I've done a bit of traveling and it is definitely really exciting and beneficial when I go somewhere new and I can connect with people in another language and in their language, because French is not my first language. So yeah, it does open doors, which is cliche, but it really does. And I also just think the value or the benefit is I remember learning French and it challenged my brain to think in a new way. And it still does. When I hear it on the radio or if I'm watching a movie or something, I kind of have to focus a little more. And I think it's good for my brain. It makes it work a little bit harder.
How about, does it kind of open up new avenues in terms of books and music and movies you mentioned?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think actually books is a good one. So my husband is the assistant manager at McNally Robinson Booksellers, which is an independent bookstore in Winnipeg. And he took French in school and learned French. And in his adult life, he's read books in French. And there's sort of a, depending on the book and the author, there's a really unique difference culturally and, you know, in the tone and everything, reading something in a new language. And I do think that it makes a huge difference to read something in its original language as opposed to a translation. There's nothing wrong with a translation, but I do think that there are, I think that there's probably nuances that are difficult to capture or challenging to capture when you apply translation to something. So that makes it pretty unique.
When did you start to learn French and how did that learning progress for you?
I started to learn French in school, in grade school. I was in English. All my courses were in English all through elementary school. And then when I was in junior high, I went to a junior high that offered late immersion. So it meant that you could start taking, you know, all your courses in French starting in grade 7. My husband, by contrast, he started learning French in, I think, kindergarten or grade 1, and he did all of his school in French. So I went to a school that offered late immersion, and then I actually did extra late immersion. So I was always in English until about the end of grade 8, and then I switched to French immersion in grade 9, and I did French immersion in grades 9 through, I think, 11 and 12. I had always enjoyed French. I'd always done pretty well with it. And then it just kind of happened that all of my friends in junior high were in French. And I really liked, there was a different mood in the classes. And I was really challenged by it at sort of a nice level where I felt like it was difficult. I was learning new things, but it wasn't so hard that it was totally out of my grasp. I remember it being really difficult, but I do remember that it was actually much better to have no other option. Like the fact that you could only speak French and like the teachers would not, you know, give in to you and speak English made the learning a lot more efficient and it made me try a lot harder. And I had really great teachers. Like I went to it's a public school, it was Monroe Junior High in Winnipeg. And at a certain point, I don't know when it happened, but it just got easier and easier. And there will always be things that I still am challenged by and with French. But yeah, over time, it just got easier. And, you know, neither of my parents speak any French. And they didn't put me in French immersion because my mom had always said, well, we thought, if you brought home homework, we wouldn't be able to help you. We wouldn't know the language, so we couldn't. That's why we didn't put you in French. Yeah, and then in first year university, I ended up doing a study abroad course, and I went to the south of France, and that was great. Like, I went with a few Canadians and Americans, and it was interesting to see pretty much all the Americans learn like elementary, like basic French, and sort of for myself and a lot of the other Canadians be able to move through the country and the classes a lot easier, mostly get it. It's been a long time since I've used my French daily, but it still comes back, which sometimes I'm surprised by. I listen to something, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I definitely still know what they're saying. And again, I still think the best way to learn it is to be forced to use it, you know, to have no other choice, that's the only language you're allowed to speak. You just learn fast, which is pretty amazing, actually, how we can adapt.
Do you find anything difficult about being bilingual?
I do find it used to, I didn't appreciate it when I was learning the language, and I still find it really challenging now, is just remembering that the like structure and patterns of the phrasing and the grammar is not just easy translate into English. It's not just knowing the words and replacing them. It's the actual like structure of the verbs and the pronouns and everything go in a different order. I find that very challenging. Yeah, and maybe just keeping it up is challenging. You know, I'm shy now about speaking in French. Even though I think if I sat at a table and people were speaking, I'd get it, or I could read the newspaper and I'd be fine. I'm very reluctant to say anything in French because I haven't kept it up.
When you're fluent in English already and you can talk about sophisticated things, I'm even at my beginner level of French. It's just really hard to, you know, to be at a lower level.
Yeah.
Is there another language that you'd love to learn?
I think that learning German would be, I'd love to learn German. My mother's side of the family is German, and my grandparents spoke German to each other. And her family immigrated to Canada in the early 1920s. And I think that my grandma used to teach me a bit of German when I was young. And so I don't remember much at all, but it's such a unique and like somewhat strange language to me. I don't hear it spoken often, and I don't hear it popularly, you know, on the radio or the television, but just it would make me think of my grandparents. So learning German would be pretty interesting.
So this podcast series is going to be aired on campus community and Indigenous radio stations across the country to celebrate the Rendezvous de la Francophonie. You want to tell me a little bit about your long history with community radio?
So I first got involved with community radio in 2010, September of 2010, as a student at the University of Winnipeg. And then it really just kind of snowballed from there. I started doing a show at CKUW. Over time, after a period of time, I also became staff at the station. I was the volunteer coordinator for 3.5 years. And then I was the full-time program director for 2 years. I also served on the board of the NCRA, and I've done a lot of different kinds of radio. I had a music show for 9 years, almost 9 years. I hosted on a morning show. I produced a radio documentary at one point. So it's been just a constant in my life, and I think it helped me build more of my identity in my adult life, and it connected me to people and communities in this city in Winnipeg that mean a lot to me now. And yeah, introduced me to local music, which was a you know, ongoing interest of mine, just to see what music is coming out and what people are making. And it's been, you know, there's been stops and starts to it too, where I've taken a break or I've stepped away for a while, but I think it's nice. I feel like with campus radio, you know, that's a normal thing. It takes a lot of energy to make radio and a lot of thoughtfulness and attention. So I like the idea that maybe I can come back to it at different points in my life and try new things and also step away when I have other things in my life, you know? And I do think that that actually makes it a nice environment for everyone, you know, that you have different people coming in as leaders or as, you know, thought makers or whatever, and this ongoing cycle of people coming through. Can I ask you what inspired you to, so it's recently that you've been learning French, right?
Yes.
Okay. What inspired that?
Well, honestly, actually, I'd always thought I wasn't very good at French, because maybe I didn't give it enough attention when I was in school, or, you know, I don't know. For some reason, my mind was elsewhere. And, then when I was actually hired as a contractor to start this blogging contract with the Dialogue Foundation as an Anglophone, I thought, you know, this would be an amazing time to start learning French. So I mm-hmm. just started with Duolingo because coincidentally I was having a coffee with a friend who said, "Oh, I'm learning Spanish on Duolingo," and I said, "What's Duolingo?" And you know, mm-hmm. I got the précis on that. And I started doing daily lessons, and I'm continuing to do daily lessons. And, you know, I've gotten past the elementary school stage, and I might be in the, well, I don't know, maybe I'm grade six now or something. So it's taken a while, but
and I
have to admit, the subject matter's not that interesting when you're reading at that level, but I've actually started kind of in the last year, I've started writing emails in French and reading emails in French with a dictionary, which is a little more interesting. I actually get kind of a rush when I successfully write an email without too many mistakes.
My husband, once in a while, when we're out or something, we'll play a game of trying to remember what certain things are in French. Or be like, what's the French word for nose or elbow or pinky, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's always really good at it. And I struggle, but his French is beautiful. When he speaks it, it's really nice. But
does he have a family roots in French?
No, no, it was just, well, his mom was a teacher.
Ah.
His mom was an educator. So I think that they really saw the value in his dad. I mean, I don't know that this really matters, but like his dad is Portuguese, first mm-hmm. generation Canadian. So I do think that even though his dad doesn't speak Portuguese, I think that he at least had some concept of being bilingual.
Yeah.
And actually, oh, this is an important to the interview right now. But I went on a tour at the University of Winnipeg the other day. And we were touring the psychology department, and one of the researchers is doing research into like the brain and bilingualism and how the brain lights up with different, like acquiring different languages, or like how our brain relies on one language to learn another. And she was saying, I didn't know this, but it makes a lot of sense. She said it's actually less common in the world to be monolingual, that more of the world mm-hmm. speaks more than one language than just one.
That was my conversation with Victoria King, who lives in Winnipeg, Manitoba. This year's Rendezvous de la Francophonie partners and funders include the Government of Canada, the Linguistic Portal of Canada, the National Film Board, Air Canada, la Fédération de la Jeunesse Canadienne Française, NAF Canada, and many other groups, including the National Campus and Community Radio Association.